Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host and the commissioner of King for a Day, Rick Goreski, welcoming you to another episode of King for a Day. 24 teams, 16 weeks, only one King for a Day. Please join me in welcoming our co-host today, Brian Koch of the Oldham Ogres. Brian, sorry, I almost went with your Mad Dog team name.
Yeah, that's, mistakes can be happened. They're both powerhouses of the teams.
Well, welcome aboard, buddy. Thanks for joining me. Today we're going to talk about, we have a ton to cover today. We want to recap the 2015 annual King for a Day kickoff meeting. There is a small something I want to say before we do this quickly, though. And let me just mute you there for a second. I want to comment on the fact that many of the rule changes being proposed are a reflection of the changes in the NFL as opposed to issues with King for a Day. And I think that's important for guys to understand that. It won't surprise me if a lot of owners hold on to what we have right now because, frankly, it's worked for so long, and so many people feel that it's not broke, so don't fix it. And while I'm a guy who often thinks that way as well, I'm also a guy who looks at the big picture. And I think some of the topics discussed at this year's rules meeting will come back again in the future if we don't address them now. So for me, right off the bat, regardless how you vote, I don't care if you're voting yes or no, what I'm really asking each owner, I'm making a plea, please keep an open mind, contemplate the information that you're about to be shared, that's about to be shared with you on this podcast, and then cast your vote. Don't just have a reaction to the items that are out there because some of them are big changes. Try to understand why some of these things are being proposed. I mean, it's okay if you think there's a better way to address these issues. The goal is to make a good decision that's going to provide our league another 15-year stretch where our rules are sound and everybody just enjoys themselves. We don't have to decide every issue this year, but, you know, we do have to face, as a league, we have to face these issues that are out there and make some decisions eventually. And whatever you do, don't bury your head in the sand and think that everything's going to be okay. Think about this stuff and help the league. And the last thing I want to say is that this league has never been about one guy. I run it, but it's not about me or everything that I think. There's tons of other people who helped create this league, who helped write the rules for this league. King for a Day has fingerprints from everyone on it. And it's our league, and that's the point of my plea that I'm making. Get involved and help us think this stuff out. Help us come up with better ideas if you don't like the current stuff that's out there. Brian, did you have any, you know, you were at the kickoff meeting. Did you have any little mini plea like I just did about before we dig in and tell everybody what happened?
Well, you know, just to go ahead and obviously kind of bring things forward, you know, I mean, we're always looking for changes and always trying to improve the league. You know, several years ago, we've done rule changes over the years to go ahead and obviously bring things more current with what's going on with the NFL. And, you know, just to go ahead and obviously say things real quickly here is that things are changing. X are, you know, coming a dime a dozen. You're going to have your top five, top eight running backs. But after that, you know, it's all the report. So, I mean, oh, just to go ahead and obviously take a second, step back, and look at the future of the NFL and the future of our league to keep it running as smooth as possible.
Nope, thanks a lot. I agree with all that, as you know, from the discussions we had at the kickoff meeting. What I'm going to do is walk through the – I've got the agenda items, walk through the – little bit of information we have, and then you feel free to comment on it, Brian. I'll open up a spot on each of these for you to comment.
Sure.
To the kickoff meeting was held this past Sunday, which was July 19th. We had five owners in attendance. We had myself, Rick Goreski, Brian, you were there, Kurt Kujawa, Curtis Thrasher, and Steve Wellman. agenda item one, addition of a third starting wide receiver to the existing lineup, or addition of a flex position, running back, wide receiver, tight end to the existing lineup, or adding a single flex position to the lineup that would include defensive players, meaning this flex would across offense and defense. You could use it for wide receiver, tight end, place kicker, defensive line, linebacker, or defensive back, and running back as well. The owner that suggested that was adamant that if you use one running back, then you can have access to these other positions. Otherwise, if you go with two running backs, that's it. So that really is kind of just saying running back, wide receiver, tight end, place kicker, defensive line, linebacker, DB. So all that in one breath. The vote was 5-0 at the meeting. We talked about all of those options. We talked about different things about the league. We talked about the NFL changing and how there are extra receivers out there for everybody, but not quite enough for everyone to be expected to start a third wide receiver. There are still some valid number two running backs, but not everybody is always finding quality at that number two running back position. And we started to talk about, you know, letting guys, maybe instead of doing all this stuff that we're talking about, these suggestions that were there, why not just open it up? So the vote was 5-0 in favor of a one-year trial period where the league's standard starting lineup would change from two running back and two wide receiver to four offensive flex positions, meaning running back, wide receiver, tight end. The Mad Dog Dynasty League has used this format for 5 years, and it's been fantastic. And Mad Dog is a different league than King for a Day. I'm not saying let's make King for a Day into Mad Dog Part 2. That's not at all what we're saying. The comment that was broached is that given that the NFL is rapidly changing, the idea here is that we would no longer force owners to start two running back and two wide receiver. Instead, in place of that, we would allow owners the option of starting any four running back, wide receiver, tight end. And everyone would still have to start one quarterback, and you'd still have to start one tight end separate from these offensive flex positions. So it would just kind of take the handcuffs off of each owner and say, you know, instead of us telling you two running back, two wide receiver, you have four offensive flex. Make do the best you can. Brian, did you want to add anything to that before I recap the vote?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful idea to go ahead. And obviously, I've believed in that theory for a long time that that we should open it up, probably going back to almost 10 years ago. And, you know, I'm still a believer in it. You know, I just think that the things are changing, and to kind of stay on par 1-to-1, 2-to-2, you know, it's just getting very difficult. I think we have to open it up.
So what I wanted to mention to everybody is that this is a huge change that's being considered. It's being voted on right now on behalf of the league. The vote, rule change one, it's going to need 75% approval to pass on a one-year trial basis, because the goal here for the guys that talked this over was let's give it a try for 1 year, and then next year we would have another vote where it would need 75% to become permanent. And the point here, a lot of guys say, well, why not just add one player? Why not just add a third wide receiver? Well, because there aren't always three wide receivers available. Heck, last year I had trouble finding one wide receiver. You know, and other people say, well, just make it a flex. Okay, but when you look at it, and many people don't do this, but I do. I dig into this stuff. Fantasy football, it relates, when you're talking about the draft and the players, it relates to economics. It's supply and demand. And when you, as a league, mandate a certain position be started, you are artificially messing with the market. And when you come in with the flex, a lot of people say, well, just get rid of the second running back and make it a running back, wide receiver, tight end flex. Most every league I've ever been in that does that with just one little flex or two little flex, all it becomes is a mad dash to the running backs because everybody still has to start one. But if you're in a position to grab two, you not only can start a second running back, but you block somebody else from having a running back. And it becomes predictable, and it's not as fun. You know, to me, for me personally as an owner now I'm talking, I would much rather just give me the keys and get the hell out of the way and let me do what I can do that's best for my team.
as much as King for a Day was created with the mindset that it would always be an apples-to-apples type of league, my quarterback against your quarterback, my two running backs against your two running backs, an equally strong principle was always that you as an owner, we would give you whatever we could and let you make whatever decisions you feel are best for your team to compete. So with that said, I'd rather, if we're going to change this, and it seems like the NFL's game is kind of forcing us into this a little bit because the running backs are being devalued. They're going to committee running backs. There are more wide receivers. To me, then let me as an owner pick. Let me decide if I want to run four wide. Let me decide if I want to run one running back, one wide receiver, and two tight end, three tight end. I mean, let that decision be with me, the owner, instead of artificially diving into the market and setting a certain standard that increases the value of certain positions over others. So right now the vote on this issue, it's kind of in critical condition already. We have 8 in favor and 5 opposed. 7 votes, because we need 75% approval, 7 votes will kill it. We have 11 votes left, and we can only afford one more yes or one more no vote, or else this will get killed. So item two is the addition of a one-time 3-point bonus for 120 yards or more of combined kick and punt return yardage. And this particular item continues to be kind of a thorn in the side of the league. It's been brought up. It's been voted on officially and been voted down. We would need 75% approval to have this pass. At the meeting, the vote was 3-2 in favor of adding a one-time 3-point bonus for 120 yards or more of combined kick and punt return yardage. Basically, right now, it's 8 in favor and 5 opposed. It needs 75% ownership approval to be passed. 7 votes will kill it. So out of the 11 owners that are yet to vote, the league can really only afford one more no vote. 2 more no votes and it's dead. I'm voting yes as a person on it. I'm voting yes. It's not a huge deal to me, but to me it's consistent with what we're doing as a league. Just a few years ago, we voted to say that, you know, your guys get stats regardless if they're offense or defense. So if my running back gets a tackle, I get a point. And if my running back forces a fumble, I'll get a point. Well, I don't understand why, as a league, we would say that that's the way we want to go. That's our philosophy, that points, you should get points for what your guys do. Oh, except in this one area over here, we're not going to give points if you're, you know, wide receiver or defensive back return a kick. We don't want you to get points for that. I just don't really quite understand that. To me, it's not a game-breaking statistic or anything like that. It would potentially help DBs earn a little bit more points, which is important, I think. It's a real good thing for the league to get more points out of our defense. Do you have any thoughts on this, Brian? I think you feel a little bit more passionately than I do.
Yeah, this is something I've been trying to get changed for several seasons. I just feel that it gives another avenue for an owner to go ahead and try to, I don't want to say the word manipulate the system, but in order to garner a few more points for their team. You know, so many times you got a team that's kind of up against the wall for the bye weeks or what have you, and now you can kind of reach into the free agent pool a little bit and still keep your team competitive by being able to pick up a defensive back or a wide receiver that does, you know, returns and be able to be competitive. I mean, how many times have we seen it over the years where somebody loses by 2 or 3 points, and that's because they didn't have a viable backup in order to keep their team playing? Well, this way it does keep the team able to be competitive.
Understood. The key for other owners that I want them to think about, because there are some guys who were the same guys that were behind the push to make it so that, you know, if my running back gets a tackle, I should get a point for it because he did it. I'd like to know how those same guys can explain voting no against this. Because if your philosophy is that you should get points for what you do, well, here's a spot where we're not giving points. If a guy, and this isn't like they would get constant, easy rack-em-up points. It would be a single 3-point bonus for passing a certain threshold. So I just kind of throw that out there. To me, that's I'm not passionate about it, but I am voting yes, and I think it fits with everything else we're doing as a league. Item 3, DNP rule adjustment. A suggestion was made to allow any member of the league to call out a DNP. The vote was 4-0, one guy was in the can, the guy that's on the phone, to allow any member of the league to call out a DNP. Backups would still need to be listed to the message board in order to be eligible, but any owner could point out a DNP. The point of this was to kind of cover up a possible loophole. And that loophole is that if you knew, you know, you could start a guy who you knew wasn't going to play. It could be a backup quarterback or not somebody on a bye. I'm talking about somebody who is, you know, 50-50. They're injured, but they might play, but you're pretty sure they're not going to play. And the point of that is specifically at the quarterback position. You could start a guy and then wait and see what the backup did. You know, list your backups to the message board. Wait and see what that guy did. Like, let's say you have Geno Smith. Geno Smith blows it, has -6 for the day. You don't report the backup. And now you just helped your team out. You know, you kind of manipulated it because you were able to make your decision after the fact. And that's not something that was really part of the intention of that rule. The rule is there to help provide you a starter in case your guy doesn't play. Not for you to kind of look at it and say, well, is it in my benefit to have that guy in there? The guy you're playing might say, hey, what the hell, it's in my benefit to have that guy in there because if Geno Smith had been in the game, I'd win the game. So that's what that was all about, and the vote was 4-0 to go ahead and make it so that anybody in the league can call out a DNP. So that's the way it is now. If you're in the league, traditionally only the person who owned the player could call out a DNP. Now anyone can call out a DNP and potentially help their own chances within the league as a result of it. But again, you guys still have to list their message board, their backups to the message board for this to be valid. Any comments on that one, Brian?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to admit to this, is that, you know, I tried to manipulate that a few different times on Thursday night games. And I do believe it was Ricky Williams was part of that, where he was a 50-50 shot playing. And I kind of wanted to see what the backup was going to do. I forget who his backup was at the time. And maybe this may have been, you know, Ricky Williams and Reggie Bush when they were both in Miami, you know, but anyways, you know, make a long story short, I had two running backs from the same team. One guy was 50-50, and I wound up wanting to see what the backup was going to do first. And the backup did very well. And the other day, here I had a guy that was on the fence who wound up being put on the shelf, and I wound up getting like 15 or 24 points for my guy who was my backup, in which case I just wanted to make sure that I didn't get screwed by the guy who I wanted to start who got the 24 points, didn't get like some -2 points for a fumble or something like that. So I manipulated that a little bit at one point. But it was all within the rules of the game. I mean, the rules are the way they are.
Yep, and now anybody can call out that DNP. So if you're fighting for that 6th seed and you got a guy who, if he'd have called in his backup quarterback, he'd lose the game, you can call him in. And that's part of the strategy now in the league. Item 4 that we talked about was the 2-point conversion for defense. We need to account for the new NFL rule where the defense can return a kick for, a failed kick, or I'm not sure if it's on a 2-point conversion as well, for 2 points. League rules already specify that any player who gets a 2-point conversion will receive 2 points. So it's already in the rule book, but we're just making sure people understand that there may be a new statistical category added through the website to account for this specific situation. So that's really what this entry is about, is just letting everybody know that, hey, this is there. If your guy scores on one of these 2-pointers, you're going to get it. Item 5, lower the 3-point rushing bonus from four running backs to something less than 100 yards. We did discuss that. People feel that 100 yards is still the mark. Voted was 4-0 against lowering the yardage threshold. Next, we jumped into penalties for starting players on a bye week and or players who start incomplete lineups. And what this is really about is there's a sentiment amongst many league owners that they're upset, rightfully so, because they put money down on the table to play, albeit not a ton of money, but it's still money. And you have guys that mail it in who just don't pay attention, don't set their lineup. They want to see some kind of penalty for these people that are doing this because it hurts their chances of winning their division and making the playoffs. So the vote that we had was 4-1 at the meeting after discussing this in favor of charging owners $5 per week who don't set their lineup with one of the following infractions. If you start a player on a bye, you would be charged $5 for that week. If you start a player who's on IR in real life and has been on IR during a portion of one NFL game week, you would be charged $5, not $10 if you started a player on bye and a player on IR. It's one charge per week max, $5. And the example when I say who's been on IR in real life for a portion of one NFL game week, what we don't want to do is, you know, the guy goes on IR on Friday or Saturday and the owner had to work or set their lineup before they went out of town. What we're saying is that if they were on IR, you know, through one set of Sunday games, the next week you can't have that player in your lineup if they're on IR. Same thing for suspensions, which is the third qualifier here. If they're suspended in real life and they were suspended through one weekend's worth of games, then the following week you better not have that guy in your lineup or else you're going to be fined this $5 fee. This, again, would have to be voted on by ownership. I don't off the top of my head. It just needs majority approval. It does not need 75%. Any money collected via this penalty will be paid out to the Van Hemert Cup points champion. Currently, we don't give any money to our points champ. We would take these fines and we would pay it to the points champ. If an owner refuses to pay the penalty, then that owner is going to be booted from the league. And these funds are not guaranteed funds, meaning if the parties refuse to pay, no money will be available to pay out. People may not realize, but I, as commissioner, guarantee the base payouts. So I'm not going to guarantee this. I'm not going to put my name on this. If, you know, I could just see somebody racking up a bunch of fines and just say, screw you and leave the league, I'm not going to pay that. You know, I'll back the initial money that, you know, to make sure that the prize payouts go out. I'll take that out of my pocket to make good and to have integrity within the league, but that's what that point's all about. Right now, the league vote that's out there, should the league invoke a monetary penalty of $5 a week for an owner starting a player or a player on, you know, as I mentioned, the above criteria, right now it could go either way. The vote's currently 6 in favor and 6 opposed. One owner has... we've got 13 votes on everything else. In this case, one owner is still thinking it over. So it's 6-6. It's completely up in the air. Brian, any comments on the penalties?
Yeah, I don't think it's too harsh, you know. I mean, it's kind of a nice little twist to the game. You know, I mean, you know, should be able to hold owners accountable for, you know, you want to be a part of this league, that's fine. Then do it. But don't schluck on your responsibilities, you know. Don't give somebody a free win because you're too lazy to set up your team for the week, or too busy. You know, if you're too busy, then you shouldn't be in the league. I guess that's just kind of it's brash and it's abrupt and it's to the point. And too many times I've seen that in other leagues where people sign in and then they bow out after about 4 weeks because their records are 1-4 or 1-3 or something like that. And so, you know, why should you give away the rest of the season to other teams just because, you know, you don't want to play?
Yep.
If you don't want to play, then get out.
The one thing I think is important for people to know is that the league doesn't allow a team to just fold for half a year. The league will jump in, will find somebody to manage that roster, to manage that lineup. We don't, as part of our basic league setup, we don't let teams just become abandoned. With that said, there can be a handful of weeks where it does sit abandoned, you know, until the league says, yeah, this is now officially an abandoned team. We can't get a hold of the owner, you know, that kind of thing. So I understand the desire of some ownership to want to ratchet that up. I also understand real life happens, so, you know, I'll leave it at that and let everybody make up their own minds. Item 7, adjusting the scoring system to assign negative points to quarterbacks for sacks. We had a discussion about this, and the owner what that brought that up was actually at the meeting, and after hashing it out back and forth, we decided that that would not be a good rule to implement, and that it, you know, the way that that would actually affect quarterbacks wasn't quite what that owner hoped it would be. It might actually hurt the lower quarterbacks even more so, whereas they thought maybe it would close the gap a little bit. Vote was 5-0 not to pursue. Item 8, the addition of two defensive flex positions was the agenda topic. During the discussion about this, what we talked about was the fact that over the years, the defensive side of the ball in King for a Day has fallen far behind the offensive side of the ball, partially because of NFL rule changes and partially due to the fact that we only have 6 starting defensive players in the league. We talked about the fact that there's just way too much talent out in free agency. You can, in week 10, just dip into the free agency and pick up a starting player, a starting DB, a starting linebacker. Guys just aren't respecting defense. They're not holding roster spots for defense, and it's not healthy for the league. You know, they'll grab their top-notch starters, your J.J. Watt, your Levante David, Mosley's going to go early this year, Keekly. But after that, you know, people sit back on it. Some guys barely even carry backups. So the vote was 4-1 after talking this all out and trying to figure out how could we help the league. The vote was 4-1 in favor of a 1-year trial period where the league's starting defensive lineup would change from 2 defensive linemen, 2 linebacker, 2 DB, to 1 defensive lineman, 1 linebacker, 1 DB, and 3 defensive flex positions. That's DL, linebacker, or DB. 75% of the league ownership would need to agree to this in order for it to be done, and then we'd have to vote again in 2016 before it could become permanent. Again, mentioning the onus of this, and what's really interesting about this is that this is an effort to not only address the imbalance of offense versus defense, but it's also something to try to provide more value on defense so that it just frankly, you shouldn't have these gimme starters sitting there in free agency in week 10. It shouldn't be that easy to just go out and get something like that. So if you take, and I want to share this with everybody quickly, about 3 minutes left in the show, so we might have to move to a part 2 of this to get everything else in, but I want to quickly say that if you take 1 defensive lineman, that's our weakest position in the league, and you eliminate that 1 defensive lineman and you turn that into a defensive flex, okay? So you're now saying it can be a linebacker or a DB instead of a defensive lineman. I think everybody would agree that ownership is going to quickly gravitate to a linebacker and or defensive back to fill that spot. What that means is that you're immediately going to pull 12 extra players that had been in free agency, if you think about this openly. 12 linebackers and or defensive backs that previously were out there are going to immediately go into somebody's starting lineup. Half the owners, at least, are going to take a backup. So now there's 18. You take the 12 starters plus 6 backups. You've now succeeded in pulling 18 players that previously had just been sitting there in free agency and getting them onto somebody's roster. And it may be more than 18. We're just conservatively estimating how this could go down. So you take the number 2 defensive line spot, which everybody hates, and it's only there because it's more fun to play the game with defensive linemen. And I just think that was the real initiative here, was to increase scoring on the defensive side, which moving a linebacker or a DB instead of a DL would do. And then at the same time, we would increase the number of defenders on people's rosters by changing this to a defensive flex. We did talk about opening it wide up, having 2 defensive linemen and 4 defensive flex, but the ownership at the meeting was not in favor of that. This is where we fell as a 1-year trial. Brian, did you have any comments on this?
Yeah, you know, to be really honest with you, Rick, I wanted to kind of expand this even a little bit deeper. I wanted to have 7 defensive starters over the 6. You know, I want to evolve this a little bit deeper. But unfortunately, it didn't take well at the kickoff meeting. It wasn't perceived well because there were some, pros and cons behind it. But I would hope that within the next year or two, we can definitely get that resolved and picked up and see where we can go with that.
Yep, and I do want to mention that one of the big things, we only have a minute left, so we're going to have to do a part 2 to finish off the rest of this show, but I want to mention that unfortunately a lot of guys in the league don't want to expand the draft. That's a killer for them, so that's why we're stuck with the limitations we have. This vote right now is 6 in, am I reading this right? Yes, 6 in favor and 6 opposed. 1 vote can kill it, and I can't imagine we're not going to get 1 no vote out of the 11 that are left. So I don't know if one person failed to vote on this or not, but basically we're down to one no vote will kill this. And I that pains me a little bit because I think that there's some real wisdom here in helping expand the defensive side. But I tell you what, that's all we have left for today. So what I'm going to do is just wrap the show up, throw a little Buddy Holly in the background. Every day, guys, look forward to part two of the wrap-up. Take care.
Cause I know the coaster, love like yours will surely